At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to one of our Fight Game Media podcasts. If you enjoy this feed, you may also want to subscribe to the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. Most of the shows you enjoy listening to are also live streamed on YouTube, but there are two exclusive YouTube shows that aren't on this feed. It's G1 Season and our New Japan show, Speaking of Strong Style, hosted by Stephen Conway and Jeremy Finestone, goes live on Thursdays. And to kick off the week, Samantha Shipman and Mel Gray host The Power Bombshells every Sunday. Subscribe by going to youtube.com/@Fight Game Media, and you'll receive notifications when shows go live. You can also find all of our shows on fightgamemedia.com. This is a special edition of the Double G Show here with my special guest, BJ Bethel. BJ, what's going on?
Not much. And thanks for having me. And I wouldn't call myself that special of a guest, but thanks for the kind introduction, Garrett.
Well, so here's the thing. I have had this idea on doing a show, a more serious show based on issues in wrestling, based on topics in wrestling that don't really have to do with fandom or in-ring or whether or not you enjoy what you're watching on your television, and more kind of just inside stuff about wrestling. And so the old television show, the ESPN show on Sunday, The Sports Reporters, was kind of like the idea. I have a journalism background. I've never been a reporter. I kind of got out of radio very early on, but the way that I like to discuss wrestling is with a journalistic slant on it. And I was just kind of wondering if, you know, who's out there who would want to do something like this. And, you know, obviously you have a reporting background as your livelihood. And so I thought, oh, maybe BJ would be interested in this kind of idea. So here we are. Now, we'll do the sports reporter gimmick in a second here. We're going to take a few topics and kind of dig into them. The idea of the sports reporters is stolen by me. Is people watching on video can see the background that I'm using. But also the idea of this segment or this special edition show is the Wrestling Repotters. Now, where I stole that from is Bill Simmons would bring on Jason. Gosh, there's a New York Times writer. Is his name Jason Day? Jason Gay, maybe? But he's a sports writer from the New York Times. And then his own writer and podcaster, Brian Curtis, who covers media and politics for them. And they kind of did the wrestling or the sports reporters, but they called it the sports repotters because they're podcasting. And so I just stole both of those gimmicks for this special show. So I'm not even pretending that it's creative in any way. It is just straight up an outright gimmick infringement. Before we get to our topics, we both came up with a couple that we want to talk about. I have a question for you about your reporting of the AEW media rights deal, because I think what's interesting about this is we have a lot of people close to AEW who will not go on record or who have not yet gone on record to say that the deal is done. And you did. You said the deal is done in principle. We've heard a lot.
Yeah, in principle, it's different than the deals done, but yes, it's in principle. It's been there's been something agreed to in principle for at least a few weeks, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so Sean Ross Sapp, Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller, none of those, they've all insinuated that they believe it's close. They believe that, you know, that it probably will happen. But you were the only one, as far as I could tell, that went even as far as it being done in principle. Now, I don't even really want to talk about sources or anything. That's your business. That's your, again, your livelihood. But the question I had for you is, the way that you posted this information, the way that you report, you broadcasted your report is through Twitter. And as we know, Twitter is one of the worst platforms that all of us still use because it is where all the people are. And I can imagine that you, not being one of those three individuals that I mentioned, probably caught a lot of flack for having the audacity to actually have information and talk about the information that you had. How did you deal with that nonsense?
I mean, I've reported on, like, I to get talk about this, I had the, you know, I had a couple sources who I talked to on this, and what they gave me was information I talked about to them about, and it was pretty solid, and I felt it was strong enough to go on background, and that's why I posted it on Twitter. I just happens to be the app that I'm on with the most followers. And I mean, if people are following me, it's generally because of politics, opioids, and some Russian information, disinformation reporting I did like 10 years ago. Maybe some sports. I mean, it's through my reporting, you know, wrestling, me talking about that. But I just, it seemed like the logical place. I also write for SC Scoops, and I didn't feel comfortable posting it on there because I didn't want them to take a blast when I didn't have it. I'm still of the mind I would prefer to have somebody officially tell me something before it's done, but that's just not how reporting's done in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Almost all of it's on background, but I had enough background sources on this that I felt it was good enough that I could put it out on social media, which was that they had an agreement in principle. It was pretty much put to paper at that point. But as far as the people reacting go and all that, you know, yeah, I'd like to say, you know, after, you know, it looks like they're probably going to announce something on Dynamite this Wednesday. At least I think that's what I saw, a graphic. Maybe it was an old one. I don't know.
Yeah, Tony is very happy right now. If you followed him on Twitter,
yes.
He's very excited. Things are in line. This, you know, the stars have aligned for him as far as his tweets are concerned. So I don't know if it's going to if he's going to talk about it this week or if he's going to wait till All In, but he is particularly happy. And, you know, he's talked about this post, this Paris meeting with David Zaslav and all that. So he's very positive about prospects right now.
Yeah, the thing with me is I've reported on a lot more serious issues than somebody's TV deal. It's like it's no big deal to me. You know, it's annoying. Yeah, I hate it when people tell me that I'm an idiot. You know, it's like, look at my bio. You know, I've got some decent bylines. I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest reporter, but I'm a pretty good one. I covered federal courts. I've covered state courts. I've covered the opioid crisis, you know, way early. And was a lot of it was, you know, reported elsewhere. And I was, you know, I did that for some. My work's been printed in the major English-speaking capitals in Australia, Washington, D.C. with the Washington Post, Australia, Sydney Morning Herald, and The Guardian in London. So I think I have a pretty good track record with what I'm doing. And I've gotten some, when I report on, like, real-life news, I've taken a lot of heat for things that's happened there. You're talking about serious pressure and, you know, you're talking about life-changing things that can happen. Which is one reason, what's hilarious is that's one reason I wanted to write about wrestling again, is because I wanted something that was a little bit more fun and relaxing to do. I actually approached Dave Meltzer about it a couple of years ago before I ended up with SE Scoops. And then now this is the Janelle Grant thing happened. But it, to me, it's just not a big deal. It's like, it's annoying. Yeah. When it turns out that, yeah, they're getting a great deal. yeah, it's going to be for a lot more money than, you know, maybe the anti-AEW people, which I don't understand why you would be anti-AEW, but it's going to be more than what they would probably expect of them to get. It's going to set them up pretty well for the future. And yeah, I could tell them all to, you know, kiss my rear end, but you know, I'd love to say that, you know, it, you know, parts of me would, but at the same time, it's just, this is normally just part of my job. I got something good. I got some decent information. I decided to put it out. And, you know, I think pretty much Sean Ross Sapp and what Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller all said, we've all been kind of close in what our reporting is, in just the varying lengths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've heard some money figures. I'm not going to go into those into detail. They seem to be getting better every time I talk to somebody. I don't know what that means, but it definitely, this is going to set them up well. But as far as a reporting standpoint, I just did my job. You know, this is what I do. This is, you know, it's kind of a calling. And, you know, if some idiots on Twitter don't like it, you just kind of have to float through it and deal with it. And I think this is where an advantage where, like, guys like you and me and, you know, Dave, Wade Keller, and, you know, going back to people that reported, you know, the early days of wrestling where you just got blasted with hate because at the time, you know, you had this huge wrestling media internet thing come out right when the Monday Night Wars happened and this huge presence. And it was just the zoo and you gained really a tough skin. You know, I had death threats because of, you know, stuff I wrote about Raw or Nitro, you know, back in the day. So it just, this was kind of light, but at the same time, it's really annoying. You know, it's kind of like, it's still like, okay, why are you online doing this with your life? It's like, there's gotta be something better you can do. It's like, I'm at least on here trying to inform people or trying to have a fun conversation. It's like, why you're on here doing what you're doing. I guess this is a psychological phenomenon. Maybe they'll figure out in 100 years. I don't know.
We're going to talk about the Janelle Grant and Vince McMahon situation here. And it made me think of something, which is the pro wrestling community or the media to me is very much a either podcast or aggregation media.
Yes.
There are very few actual reporters who are doing this, you know, like a job. It's a very hobby, passionate, hobby influenced media. So, and I'm included in that. I have a day job. I am not actively reporting on Vince McMahon. I am not reaching out to people to get quotes about things that are going on. I am discussing the content as it happens or the information as it happens. And aggregators are taking, you know, things and posting it on their websites. That's really what the media is for pro wrestling for the majority of it. And then you have Sean and Dave. I'm not sure exactly how much reporting Wade is doing, but Wade has sources going back so many years because of how young he was when he got into this business.
Yeah, and mid to late 80s. Yeah.
And there
Jason
are
Jason Powell is another good one.
Yeah, there are others who, you know, people may not hear about a lot, but who have been doing this for a long time and who have sources. But I, you know, again, the majority is like aggregation and podcast discussion. And you can sort of tell by who is paying close attention to the Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant stuff. When you're covering this case or the beginnings, the origin of this, obviously those pieces that had come out, you know, a year ago or even more, were very eye-opening at that time. It was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is what was going on. However, if you had a little bit of background on the history of Vince McMahon, it wasn't that surprising. I think it was surprising that it was still happening, but the idea that this is what Vince was doing behind the scenes running a company, I don't think was that surprising to people who knew. And I just remember when the Cosby thing happened, I went up to Dave and I go, how does Vince not get caught up in this? And he goes, well, Vince has everybody sign an NDA. That's how he gets away with doing what he does. And I was like, wow, like somebody is going to talk. Like there's going to be something that happens here. And It did. Those pieces came out, I think, in the Wall Street Journal. And then this lawsuit happened, and now we know who Janelle Grant is. And is there anything that you've seen, that you've read, that you've learned in your reporting that makes you believe that this is actually going to go to trial? Are we, you know, or is TKO, which they seem to be want to do with this UFC thing, are they just going to settle? Like, where do you stand with what you believe is going to happen at this point?
I think it's just my opinion. I don't have any insight on this, but I just, other than what I've reported on, but as you were saying, you're talking with Dave about this, and it's like he's heard stories about this going back. And that's something that happened with me when I started covering developmental, which was in Cincinnati and Louisville. I was talking to some women and just other men about some of the things that were happening in the company on the main roster, and, you know, certain things you're expected to do to help your career. And that was something I remembered pretty well. And it's one of the reasons why I just got tired of covering wrestling at that point. Later on, when the, you know, initial Janelle Grant shareholder suit happened, I wasn't surprised at all. I was kind of surprised it had taken this long. I think that's kind of what with Vince and, you know, what Dave said about Vince, I believe that's kind of how he felt about it. But at the same time, it's like he had a really good lockdown thing where it's like, okay, if you want to get a paycheck in this business, you can't tick off Vince. Mm-hmm. That's a road you can't go down. And then there's the non-disclosure agreements. But when the initial shareholder suit happened, I went back and I started looking through a lot of my old notes, and I put together a spreadsheet of just women that I'd known that there had been talk that maybe they'd been victims of things that happened in WWE. And I started putting something together back then, just to kind of shore up in case this went further. I think I will say this right now, the stuff that I read in the complaint that Janelle Grant filed was nothing like I believe was actually happening. I was horrified. This was nothing like I thought. You know, I thought maybe this was just coworker to coworker stuff. What I read in the Janelle Grant complaint was just mind blowing. And that was really kind of the big shock to me, was just how horrific this might have been. Obviously he's under a grand jury investigation right now. That's been happening for a year. In fact, usually they sit for a year, or they get an extension up to 18 months. So they could come out at any time with an indictment. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get indicted, just because this is a very, very tough district to deal with. This is a Southern District in New York. They just got Trump for 34 felony counts. They Sam Brinkman freed, they convicted. Sam Menendez, a U.S. senator, they got him. They don't go after you unless they got you. Mm-hmm. I would be stunned if they don't indict Vince McMahon, just because of their track record. They're going after Sean Combs now.
Oh my gosh, that's another crazy story that's very similar to this one, by the way.
Yes, that's another one. And that seems to be something else. Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, I don't know if those were the exact court, but I know that's kind of the kind of cases this group deals with. Sarah, I can't remember her name. She's the assistant U.S. district attorney, and she's been filing most of the sealed documents, and she's the one that requested the stay officially with the federal court on the Grant civil suit. And she said that, she hasn't said this, but I'm just looking into her background. She specifically specializes in sex trafficking cases. That's not her only thing. She does a lot of other kinds of work, you know, with the FBI as far as investigating. And, you know, she's not the FBI, she's with the Department of Justice. But that's what her work is sex trafficking cases. So I'll be very stunned if they don't get an indictment on Vince. It's also easy to get an indictment. That's something else that other people need to understand. It's like there's always been the saying, and J.D. Oliva said this too, is that, and this is something that's going back 30, 40 years, is that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. Just the way the process is set up. So, but at the same time, I don't think they would be going after him at all. If they didn't have something that they could probably get him on, get guilty on, at least in their mind.
And I don't mean to say that I'm sort of numb to this kind of abuse that was rumored to have happened. But this is the same guy, and if this story is exactly what happened, who basically set Rita Chatterton up to sexually assault her and then yes. fire her after the fact. So that type of behavior that goes back to, you know, the mid 80s, I think that's very similar through line to what we heard in the Janelle Grant case.
That's a very good point you brought up, because working these kinds of cases as a reporter, I'm going into analyst mode right now, or I'm going into kind of this mode right now, where I'm looking at things and like how a court or a police, you know, a detective would look at this, and you see patterns. And with Vince, starting back in 86, was where the chatter and coming back to other women as they come out. You get to the 2006 Boca Raton tanning salon incident. Yep. These all fit a pattern. Missy Hyatt came out a couple months ago on a podcast and said she talked with Janelle Grant's team. And she said Vince once tried to, you know,
get back to her room. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, he was kind of really being almost kind of forceful, I guess, is maybe how you can put it. But it was
is she believes, at least based on my reading of that, that her turning him down affected her employment there.
Yes. And that is something that's going to hit this case like the Titanic hitting the iceberg, because you get into this and let's say he gets found guilty. You go in and they wipe out in the NDAs in the civil suit, because in criminal court, NDAs don't matter. And I think a lot of Vince's, from what I've heard, a lot of Vince's NDAs are on shaky ground anyway. Just because of how, I don't think it was anything to do with his legal team. I think it was just how he dealt with them personally. But you're going to get into cases where it's okay. You had women that, you know, they're forced to do sexual favors for positioning into these, to get positioning, get pushes. Well, then you also have women who either didn't get propositioned or turned them down and said no, and their pushes got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also subject to due damages in civil court. This is also something that's becoming closer to a crime. A lot of the things that are used to be handled kind of as a sexual harassment kind of just, you know, kind of like a HR incident, they're being looked more and more by criminal courts as crimes, such as when you know, somebody who's your boss is putting pressure on you to have sex with them to keep your job, which is what the heart and soul of the Vince case is. And that turning that change of mind in the courts over the last several years, that's really, this could really blow big. You talk about the number of women employees, the number of women's wrestlers that's been through there. You talk about, I mean, Vince isn't the only one in WWE who's been accused of this kind of behavior. It could be huge. I mean, it depends on what they come out and with who they decide to indict, if they decide to follow up and indict anybody else, if they decide to pursue criminal charges against the company, if there's anything RICO involved, you know, that could happen. But these are coulda, shoulda, wouldas. You know, it doesn't really get down to what may happen, which is, or what will happen. We don't know that until the court finally comes out and they rule what the grand jury finds. Sorry, that was very long, but hard to explain this stuff.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I have found the Vince side, whenever they come out with commentary, I find their commentary to be less based on information and more based on passion or influential stuff. And to me, that is the opposite of what I think is actually good strategy. It doesn't sound like there's a great strategy there to try and tell us that, you know, she is actually the evil one and not him. Like that in of itself is going to be very hard to get that message to me. Me knowing what I know about Vince, it just sounds like the strategies that I've heard from that side have just been not fantastic. What is your read on how they are handling some of the media stuff?
I think Vince is having a lot to do with how they're pushing stuff out. I think he's probably influencing a lot of it. Two, a lot of their motions they're filing are very hyperbolic.
Yes.
They're really trying to slime Janelle Grant as this crazy ex-girlfriend. You know, a court's got to determine all this. And three, I've always found that in most cases, when you're not arguing the facts and you're arguing passion, and I'll give one good example of this. It's, you know, Vince's legal team now, it's when they were representing MLW in their suit against WWE. WWE's filing was just very passionate and hyperbolic, and it also got destroyed. You know, MLW won handedly in that case. And to me, I just would think what surprises me the most is why they're not arguing the things that have been laid bare in the complaint. There's a lot of information in there that they could take, you know, say, hey, we have evidence that says this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. I mean, they're essentially not even denying most of what happened in the complaint. That's been surprising to me. They're just kind of twisting what was going on with it or what her attitude was toward it. And to me, that's distressing because it's just like, okay, this awful stuff did happen.
So this is going to help us transition to the next thing that we're going to talk about. But I am of the opinion, and I haven't heard many people say this, so it's not like I'm, you know, taking someone else's thoughts and running with them. This is what I've been thinking is whenever I hear Triple H talk about anything serious, it is so hard for him to discuss any of this stuff that is kind of important for his job as a high-level executive in this company. He comes off as a junior varsity lightweight when it comes to discussion about anything serious. So, for instance, the other day, there was this discussion about Brock Lesnar. When is Brock coming back? And Triple H's answer was something to the effect of, well, you know, Brock will come back when he wants to come back. Now, anybody with any sort of knowledge about why Brock is gone knows that that's immediately bullshit.
Yes.
He is gone because he is not named in that lawsuit, but he wasn't named in the anonymous things that came out, but we do know that he is in that lawsuit. And that's why he is gone.
Yeah.
Triple H is the face of the company to the public. You know, everybody knows who's close to it knows Nick Khan. And I kind of wonder, because Nick Khan has been in such high places with high level executives, I kind of wonder if he thinks Triple H is one of the weaker spots when it comes to the media aspect of how they're covered, because Triple H is great. He's doing a really good job in the creative. And some people want to say he's, you know, A+, whatever. I think he's doing a solid B+ job with the WWE creative. He's not done anything to take them off of their hot period. He's had to handle giant egos like The Rock coming in, all of those things. That's great management on his end.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, when he answers questions, he comes off as so unprepared. And I wonder if that's when you want to take WWE and TKO to the next level, I wonder if they think that that kind of holds them back a little bit.
I believe it does. And I think that, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think when this is all said and done, I don't think Triple H will be with TKO. I don't believe that. I think Nick Khan will probably end up leaving, going somewhere else. But I think you're right. He just comes off woefully unprepared. But this is somebody who's lived in the wrestling business their entire life. And they've also lived as a McMahon for the last 20 plus years. And the insular attitude, especially within wrestling media, like, oh, Vince will beat this. Oh, this isn't this big of a deal. You know, you listen to some people comment on this Grant case, like Kevin Nash, and you're just like, okay, you can tell they haven't been in the real world. It's like, I've been in the real world. I've been in these federal courts, man. It's serious business. And there's a few people there kind of get it, and there's others that are still, there's still people there think Vince is just going to come walking in the door one day and be running everything again. And Triple H is kind of emphatic of that, you know, or not emphatic, it's the wrong word, but just kind of symbolic of that, where he's kind of just, I don't think he really understands the seriousness of this, you know? Like, why have Stephanie come back and be on TV the other day? I mean, was that because Shane McMahon met with Tony Khan? Like, that's exactly what I'm thinking, is that, I'm like, I mean, the only reason for her to be there was because Shane showed up at AEW. You know, at least in the office for a photo. Also,
it was a leaked photo. It was not planned.
Yeah, I like Gordon Tony did a great. you know, the old tabloid. You know, caught in a hotel room shot of Tony there with a.
Yeah.
You know, and then Shane is looking over like, who's this person? It's funny. I mean, I'm not the only one to say this, and I've you know, and it's like Brian Alvarez was the one who said this, and was just great about it. It was just like, there's absolutely nothing that gets leaked out of there. He goes, people can figure out match finishes just by following the booking or just a guess they get. And I guess Tony, according to Brian, he would know this a lot more than me. He just is like, Tony gets obsessed about leaks. And that's one reason I think he keeps so much of this around himself as far as running things. But it's like, yeah, that didn't get out unless he wanted it to get out.
Yeah.
And then you have later in the day, you have, you know, it was brilliant. It was brilliant work on their part. I mean, you're pushing, okay, right before SummerSlam, guess what? Shane McMahon's in the AEW offices. Wow. It was
information gets out on a Wednesday morning, the night of their TV show.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, right when you might think, oh, Shane McMahon going to be on Dynamite tonight? And then, you know, later in the evening, Shane releases a statement. Oh, we had a great talk. We have some many things in common. You know, it's funny to watch. It was a great moment. But, you know, it's just trying to come back with that with Stephanie. And then, you know, I was really disappointed nobody at this press conference asked him about Shane. It's like, how do you not ask about Shane? It's like, okay, I can see being uncomfortable and not wanting to ask about Grant if you're like a newer reporter, you haven't done this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But how do you not ask about Shane, your brother-in-law? He's meeting with the enemy. You know, he's meeting with Tony Khan. You know, this is the guy who, you know, you worked with all these years.
And
you know,
not only did you work with him, but you are in the spot that he thought he was going to be in.
That's the big thing, is that Shane, if all said and told, then you go back and repeat all this all over, and it goes according to the way people thought, Shane would be the guy running the company right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people wish he was. not because, you know, just because of how things have turned out with certain, like with the Vince scandal, but it's like, how do you not ask? How do you not ask? That's just another thing. It's like so infuriating watching this stuff. It's like, how do you not ask him about Shane McMahon?
Yeah, no.
It just blows my mind. I understand it's a hard job. I understand how it's like going in there. But it's like, just, okay, Shane McMahon's shit was in AEW, and he's talking about going to AEW. What do you think of that? Does that hurt you guys? I mean, this is a McMahon going to another company. This has never happened, you know?
No, this is the perfect transition to what I was going to talk about. But Lady B, who we love on this network, she says, but HHH hasn't read the lawsuit, allegedly hot. He can't live that one down, right?
No,
literally.
No one's followed up. No one's asked him. No one's came up later and said, hey, have you read that lawsuit yet? At least the worst he can say is no comment. Then guess what? Somebody else can follow up and ask. Or he says no comment. But like Keith said, back at Royal Rumble, your father-in-law and your boss just got nailed with a 71-page complaint alleging he did some horrible, horrible things. And you know he's also under a grand jury indictment for this. He's getting looked at for an indictment by a grand jury for this. And you say you haven't read the complaint? Why didn't at the next presser, didn't somebody ask, have you read it yet? I mean, right now, nobody knows since Royal Rumble if he's even looked at it.
So where my mind goes when something like this happens, and I know this because if anything happened in my company that, you know, someone thought that there were going to be questions about, they would go, hey, guys, if anybody reaches out to you and wants to ask you questions about this, here's kind of the process in order that we would like to see, you know, to tell them to contact the press team and blah, 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 like that kind of thing. But you would also probably get a one pager on, okay, here is what people are going to probably be asking you about this, and here's what your answer should be to this question. So either Triple H isn't involved in any of that stuff, which is kind of silly when he's the guy who hosts the post show press conference,
yes,
or he just big timed the whole thing because of what he thinks about the people asking the questions, which is, that's more, I think that's kind of what happened and what continues to happen.
But sorry, my dog's crazy. Hey, dog, get out of the window. Come here. Sorry. I think you're right that he's big timing this. That's my feeling on it, because the thing is even putting him out there without a statement, without something, I think they're trying to, I think there's also some strategy to this. They're trying to show everybody everything's okay, because Triple H is a possible witness to get called if this goes to an indictment.
Yes.
He's also a possible witness to get called in the Janelle Grant suit. He's also a possible, he's also possibly involved in some of these crimes if he's tried to help cover him up, if he's tried to help, if he was involved in, you know, hushing up any of this. You know, he's a co-conspirator. So I think them putting him out there, I think it's kind of TKO's way of saying, yeah, everything's cool, everything's fine, because we wouldn't be putting Triple H out there if we thought there was a real problem. Well, they have a real problem. And they, and like you said, they have not prepared for this at all in the press. The only thing that saved them is that nobody asked them tough questions. And I think that if, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that a lot of people don't understand what to ask. It's really hard to ask. And outside of a couple people, it's really difficult to sit down and actually, okay, am I going to spend all this time asking about something that happened 3 months ago? Or am I going to ask something that's relevant to the show tonight and that my viewers and people care about more? Because guess what? 65 to 70% of my audience is WWE fans. And if I ask all Janelle Grant, if I ask a Janelle Grant question, 70% of them are going to be mad at me.
And I may lose access to being able to do this, which is my content, which is my passion, which is how I make a little bit of money. And this is what I go back to with the majority of the media is podcasters and aggregators.
Yes.
And that is all about talking about the creative art form and some of the backstage news and a lot. But it really is like, do I really want to be a Debbie Downer on this thing that people come to me to discuss because they love it so much? That is the part where
that's the thing. It's like that too. It's like, oh, you know, how dare you guys want to ask questions like this when we're just looking for a little break, man? I go to WWE because I work hard all day and we do all this. Well, don't you want to know something? Don't you want to know what that company's doing to the people that work for it?
Not if you want to put your head down and not, you don't want it to affect what you enjoy.
Yeah, and to me, that's just the most selfish thing in the world. I don't give a damn what any of those people think. It's like, this is what's happening. This is the reality of it. And if this was happening to you at your workplace, you would call the cops. You would want somebody involved. And the fact that fans feel this way, this explains how they can get away with this kind of thing for so long. They got such a devoted fan base, and a hardcore portion of it is cult-like. To be just honest about it, you know, not all of them, but there's such a devoted portion of them, especially on Twitter and in areas like that, they'll go to the bat for them no matter what. And it's like, why? What's this guy ever done for you?
Exactly.
You know, he gives you 3 hours of Raw every month. I'm not sure. I watched a lot of those Raws. Guess what? I mean, I think he should have went to jail for some of those Raws, but
it's funny. Like I will say, you know, put a jersey on. Like, that's what you want, is you want to wear a jersey for them and you want to be a part of the team. And that's sometimes that's just what a fan is. And I get that. It's kind of like your favorite sports team or whatever. But so why are they so bad at crisis management when they've had to go through so many crises? We can go all the way back to the early 90s with the steroid stuff. One of their own wrestlers wasn't handled correctly, and he died in the ring. Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, those guys were on top of the company in a sense, and one of them died of a heart attack and the other one died because he murdered his family and then committed suicide. They've had so many of these crises. This Vince thing happens and it's almost like they don't know how to deal with it. After all of the trials and tribulations that they've been through, they still have not figured out how to deal with crises happening.
I will tell you this. This is because they've always been able to kayfabe their way out of it. Mm-hmm. When they had the wrestler deaths in the 2000s, they went on to HBO Sports, and it was Armin Kontain that interviewed him, Vince McMahon, and he simply went into the Vince McMahon character.
slapped the papers out of his hand, from what I
remember. Yes, he did. And he would, they would always rely on the fact that they were the silly wrestling business. No one really paid attention to them. It wasn't a real thing. No one really understood what was going on. If you go back and watch the Donahue show where they were talking about the Ring Boy scandal, there's even people in the audience who are like, what are you guys talking about with this? This is just silly guys that are really big in tights. What, why, what are you talking? Like, they didn't understand. They couldn't fathom this because they didn't understand that this was an actual business. They viewed it for this certain lens, but that's gone. The children of the 90s who grew up on Monday Night Raw, who grew up on Monday Nitro, are now CEOs of companies, are now running their sports, their reporters. They're working for the Wall Street Journal. They're working for Sports Illustrated. Richard Deitch, 5, 6, 7 years ago, when he was going head-to-head with ESPN as the media reporter for Sports Illustrated, what was the background on his Twitter? It was Sting by himself with a ball bat pointing at the whole NWO.
That dude still loves wrestling.
Yes. And it's like those people have grown up. They're familiar with the culture of it. And now they can't get away with the things that they used to be able to get away with. And this is the first for them. Now it's the Wall Street Journal knocking on our door. It's not the New York. It's not just Phil Mosnick at the New York Post.
Yeah.
And this is serious stuff. And they have no idea how to deal with it. That's basically what it comes down to. They just don't know how to deal with it. This is new territory for them. And they still haven't adjusted.
How would you now? I let me preface this by saying I refuse to go to any of these pro wrestling press conferences. And the main reason I refuse is because I don't want to be part of the act. And a lot of the times on these things, they're shooting angles. And, you know, I have a friend, John Muse, who was there and he got hit with a Chris Jericho, like hit a water bottle and it knocked him in the face. And, you know, John Muse is just sitting there and now he's a part of this thing with Chris Jericho. I personally do not want to be involved in that. I know Brian Alvarez has been in the audience minding his own business and MJF says his name and he's got to interact with him or else he's going to get embarrassed or whatever. So I pull myself out of those moments. When I go to these wrestling shows, I want to go as a fan. I pay for my tickets and all that. And I just don't want to be involved. I'm not interested in, you know, turning my phone on and getting content for my YouTube channel. But that's not to say that that's a bad thing. There are people who do that. And that is why they are there. If you were backstage at one of these Tony Khan or Triple H press conferences, like, how would you handle what some of these other guys have handled, like the young man from, I believe he was from France, who...
Oh, Lucas Chakria?
Lucas, who we interviewed him. And, you know, he kind of explained this scenario of him asking the question and kind of being shut down in the way that he was. Like, you've done this for a living, and now you're going into this kind of quasi-kayfabe version of what you go to as part of your normal job. Like, how would you handle that situation?
I mean, I have experienced going into these situations, you know, politicians or whoever, you know, high school coaches, college coaches, local officials, whatever. And what I would do, and I'll give you one example. It's like the thing that really made me the angriest when I watched any of these press conferences wasn't even WWE, it was AEW. And it was CM Punk's up there doing, you know, the Brawl Out conference. And Tony Khan's sitting next to him. And I'm like, why doesn't someone stand up and say, Tony, this guy's running down your executive vice presidents and your hottest young star. Do you share this opinion he has of them? Or what do you feel about this? He's sitting right there. Why don't you ask the question? I think people feel it's hard because you see these people on TV and they're also physically imposing when they're in real life. And they're also stars and they're also known for being smart and talking rough. But you have to kind of go outside yourself and look at it as if, okay, I'm not asking this for me. I'm asking this for my 22,000 followers on TikTok. I'm asking this because a company's hired me to ask this, and it's my job. You got to step outside yourself. Everybody feels self-conscious in these things. The people up there doing the talking feel self-conscious. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I can tell Triple H is nervous when he's up there a lot of the time. That's one reason I don't think he does very well.
He's got to put on his serious glasses, though.
He's got to put on his serious glasses, and, you know, which he probably tells everybody he doesn't really need when trifocals. And, well, let's talk about serious business. It was Gracie and stuff, and didn't she look good? No, I mean, I want somebody to say, no, she didn't look good, Hunter. That's a shot at Hunter, not a shot at Stephanie. But
Stephanie looked very happy and healthy.
I think she looked very happy.
My guess is to not have to be doing what Triple H is doing right now.
She probably watches him and thinks, "Thank God, I got either she walked or she got booted." But I bet you she's happy she did. I mean, do that for 20, 30 years, God. And she's another one. It could be a potential witness.
Oh yeah,
she's a potential one. It could be involved in this, and it's like. But it's you go into these things, you got to like, okay, I was telling somebody who's a young reporter and I said, are you a Taylor Swift fan? Yeah. Okay. If Taylor Swift told you to go over there and ask that person a question, would you do it? Well, yeah. Well, then act like Taylor. Okay. I pretend you're Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift wanted to know from Triple H this thing, would she go over and ask him? Yeah, because she's Taylor Swift. If you have to pretend you're somebody else, pretend you're doing it for somebody else.
Do you think that these folks have the are quick enough on their feet in the sense of the reason they're asking the question is because they need to get information and possibly some sort of understanding of something that becomes news? Like you're in a sense. You know, I would go to these Strikeforce before Strikeforce got bought out by the UFC.
Yeah.
I would cover these Strikeforce shows and I would go to the press conferences and I didn't know what the tenor was at these press conferences. Like you have these like tons of testosterone flowing from these fighters and stuff. And I would get there and I would sit down. And Nick Diaz would come out and Nick Diaz would walk out and you would hear applause. And I was like, what is going on? This is really weird. And Nick Diaz would give like these like really like one word uninterested answers. And then he would be done. And then underground MMA with like a lav mic and, a small camera would go, hey, Nick, do you want to do this thing for my website? And then Nick would fire up and just be like, I'm going to beat this person up and I'm going to go smoke out and do like, then he's like cutting like a wrestling promo on this guy's camera after the real business that would actually help him, you know, in his actual fight business. He just doesn't say anything and has no interest in it. And what I learned from those is that, okay, I'm not writing for Yahoo Sports, which Dave was at the time, which is what I would see Dave work. And I was just like, this guy's a maniac. He's how hard he works at these things. Yeah. I would go in there and go, okay, I want to understand.
I want everybody to hear this. If you get a chance to go to a presser or event, I would encourage you to do so on a chance that you will see Dave work. I watched Dave work first time at a Perlman Memorial show. And it is, you'll learn 1 year's worth of journalism watching him work. Go ahead.
And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to learn a little bit more about the business side. So, you know, people were asking, like, why are they asking this question? What does this mean to the business? What does this mean to what? Like, what is Scott Coker, the promoter? How he's answering it this way? What is he thinking? And like, I didn't really go there to because I didn't have to write on beat. I didn't have a story to publish. Mine was more so the understanding of the business aspect. So that's how I did it. I don't think the pro wrestling folks go to these press conferences to learn more about their craft or to add to the craft or to add to the coverage. They go because they think it's cool for the most part.
Yeah. It's like almost like getting to go to an autograph section or meet and greet. I think that's how they look at it. They don't know how else to look at it.
I will say it is probably very cool to be invited on a small list of accepted media to then come to this press conference. But I would pull back and go, okay, why am I here? What did I get invited for? Is it because they don't think I'm going to ask a question? Is it because they think I need to keep this relationship? Like, I don't know how many of the cheese platter folks actually cover these, because I'm not that close to it. But I do wonder if they believe they have a role in this thing, which is the reason why I don't go to the, because I don't want to be a part of the act. And I do wonder if they feel like, well, here's my role. They know they can depend on me to ask this question about this storyline, which is good for their television show.
I think you're right on that. And that's something I haven't really thought of. They want to be part of the act. They want to be part of what happens. They want to, you know, they want Roman Reigns to take shots at them or whatever.
Or do they secretly want to be employed at some point by WWE?
I honestly think that's the biggest driver of all of it. I think all these people want jobs there. I think all the influencers want to work there. I think the content creators, their goal is to work there. And this is their audition process, is to go there and show that they can be a WWE product. Well, when you're supposed to be in a press conference, and I mean, I have no desire to ever work for them. And so if I was in there, yeah, I'd be asking hard questions. And if someone wants to, you know, I've interviewed wrestlers before and they've tried to go kayfabe on me or whatever, and I just blow it off. I mean, but you know, in a situation like that, if, you know, I mean, wrestlers are smart. They're used to staying in front of, I mean, I always would point out, these are people that stand in front of 15,000 people and convince them that something's real when they know it isn't.
Yeah.
So it's intimidating, but at the same time, it's like, if you go in there, you got a job. You go in there and you are a public face. You are representing a group of people who are either following you online or through your publication or whatever. You have a duty to ask them questions about what's going on with their company, especially when it's dealing with life and death and sex trafficking and a sex assault and things like that. Anything anyone else says is an excuse. If you don't ask the hard questions, don't go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we have a Lady B wanted me to ask you what you thought about the allowing fans to pay a little money to get invited into the back. Now, these people, I don't think they're given a mic. They're not allowed to, but they do. You know, if you have a small room, they will take up some seats, and maybe that has something to do with, with the shortage of journalists who don't get to go. And we'll talk about that in a second, because that recently happened again. But she said, you know, it's kind of like a Trump presser with supporters in the background cheering and booing reporters, which
this
I think that's a great analogy.
This happens a lot in sporting events too. A lot of college football, especially the press box is loaded with alumni and fans, and then they come down and watch the press conference, and they're clapping behind everybody. And there's either people that work in the sports information department. You know, that's not new. It's just annoying. It's just someone else you got to walk around. You know, it's like, you know, if you want to go down there and, you know, hang, I mean, I don't understand why a fan would go down there and want to look at questions, you know, watch them answer questions. I mean, it's sweaty, it stinks, you're packed in there. it, you know, you can't get any food. If you haven't gone to the bathroom before you've gone in there, you're going to really desperately need to by the time you're going to get out. I mean, unless you want to meet like Dave or Brian or somebody or Garrett, well, you won't go to them, so they're not, no, gonna not going to get you. But, you know, if you want to meet somebody, yeah, I guess, I mean, you want to read a reporter or you just want to see what happens, or I guess you can go to them. But, I mean, to me, it's just that they're trying to think of another way they can just, you know, get people to pay for something. But it's, you know, I've dealt with this stuff before, too. I mean, I had a guy, you know, for some reason, he was always assigned to me next to Ohio State games. He brought a transistor radio in. While they got somebody who's announcing over, like, their own, like, PA announcer who describes what happens on the play, well, who did it, how many yards it is, so the reporters can, yes, get it down. And this guy's got the game on the radio, which is like a five-minute time lapse. You know, it feels like it's a five-minute time lapse. It's really like 2 or 3 seconds. And it's just like, okay, you're driving me crazy.
I was just at the Giants game, San Francisco Giants game. One of my friends, he is the radio engineer for the Giants. And actually how I met him was because he heard me on Wrestling Observer Radio with Meltzer. So he's also a wrestling fan. So then he knew I was a Giants fan. He knew I did a Giants podcast. So he reached out to me. We connected both wrestling and Giants. So I recently got to go to the radio booth to watch John Miller and Dave Fleming, wow, two of the Giants guys, do radio play-by-play. We were there for like three innings. And what you said, which is every time something happens, there is someone who is only piped into that room, which somehow does not make the air, like, I don't know, the special microphones or whatever that they use, it does not come over the air. And they, you know, and they give them specific information. It was fun to see, because I've been in radio booths before, but mostly like kind of like before the game or kind of walking around. But yeah, to see those guys, like those real all-star broadcasters, do their thing was fascinating. I loved it. I could have just, you know, and the first thing when I told Dave, he's like, "Oh, did you ask John Miller about?" Who did he, about Ray Stevens? And I was like, why would I ask John Miller about Ray Stevens? But I guess John Miller was an Observer reader for a little bit, because he, really? Was a big, yeah, he was a big, wow, big Shires guy when he was younger.
Wow. I loved John Miller growing up. Well, he was partnered with Joe Morgan in Cincinnati. Yes. I'm from Ohio. He was fantastic in the Charlie Hustle documentary. He was one of the,
I was going to ask you if you watched that. I watched episode one the other day.
I just watched it last night. I'm so sick of talking and hearing about Pete Rose. I mean, as a kid, I grew
it
up.
Sounds like Al Michaels is sick and tired of talking about Pete Rose too.
I mean, Al Michaels is just like, oh my God. He is the only thing he gets asked about, two things, you know, the Miracle on Ice and Pete Rose. And
OJ, though, he gets answered. He probably gets asked about,
oh,
OJ.
Oh God, like, OJ. Oh God. You know, Al Michaels was such a legend. But it's, you know, that's another thing to bring up. Bob Costas, the one guy who really blew up Vince and got him to quit doing interviews at all, was Bob. And that was because Bob understood the wrestling business, and he'd been to St. Louis, where, you know, which was the king territory of all territories for a long time. So it was kind of funny to see, you know, Bob smiling and getting to, how dare you? Oh, you got, you know, you could tell he got him good. But anyways. But back to, you know, John Miller, you know, I thought the Charlie Hustle documentary, I was great to go back. It's like he forgot all these wonderful, amazing things happened with this Reds team. Mm-hmm. Like just incredible performers, because it's all been overblown. I mean, this was a team people put against the 27 Yankees is the greatest team of all time. Yet nobody remembers any of that because of Pete Rose. And nobody remembers it, you know, to give another example, it's like Johnny Bench was probably, you know, he was on a Mays Mantle, Ted Williams level of play until he had cancer surgery in 72, 73. You know, they had to like break his ribs and take a bunch of them apart to do that. It's like, this guy still is the greatest catcher of all time. And it's like, it's just amazing. It's terrible how it's overshadowed everything. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know John Miller would be an observer subscriber. That doesn't,
yeah,
I guess nothing should surprise me anyway.
Dave said he was a reader in that, and so I asked my buddy. I was like, you know, here's what Dave said, and he's like, yeah, he told me one time about something because, you know, they wrestling came up or whatever. So he's like, that kind of checks out. All right, so kind of the last bit on this media, and you know, I want to make sure that I am fair to the podcasters and the aggregators because I am in that field, right? I am a part, yes, of that community, and I understand that everybody's role in what they want to do in wrestling is not the same. What Dave Meltzer does in wrestling is different from what Sean Ross Sapp does in wrestling. They have two completely different jobs. Some of it kind of intersects a little bit, but their jobs are different. Same with Wade Keller. Same with Brian Alvarez. I haven't brought Brian Alvarez up enough. Brian Alvarez is the... I call him kind of like the pioneer of online wrestling conversation content because he wasn't the first guy to create his own website. I think PW Insiders kind of beat everybody to the punch as far as wrestling podcasts were concerned. But Brian, coming from that IATA and Wrestling Observer Live background, he understood where things were going. And he actually kind of stole PW Insider's lunch money to an extent by doing what he was doing and then being able to bring Dave over and make this kind of, you know, super site. These guys all do content for different reasons. They cover wrestling differently for different reasons to benefit, in a sense, their career because they're able to do this as a career. So I am not condemning the podcast community, the aggregator community, for not going up there and asking this question, because if they do not get invited to the next press conference because Triple H didn't like the question that they asked, like there's a person in the chat saying that, you know, these press conferences are just also promotional tools for the podcasters, which I totally get as well. You know, if you may get a little thing when they do the fake SummerSlam recap and they're like, oh, posted by, you know, SE Scoops, and there's a headline for a story, Roman Reigns is back. You know, sometimes you do get some of that on WWE TV. So it's good to be in their good graces if you need page views. Like, so I understand all of that. I just wonder, and we'll end with this question. And this is where I think Tony Khan is just as guilty as WWE is when it comes to the reason to have these press conferences. I feel like they want to overall manipulate the media to help push forward their storylines. I think that's the ultimate goal for these press conferences. And again, that's why I don't want to help them get there. I don't want to feel manipulated by them. When Tony Khan is asked a real question and he says, everything is great, relationship is great, you know, we're doing great things. To me, I'm like, if I'm reading between the lines, if everything is great, nothing is great. But yeah, people will then,
it's the saying, like, if you got two quarterbacks that might start, you really have none.
Yeah. So they're, you know, they want the content built out of what they're doing. And they know these are the most dedicated people who are going to their shows and covering them. And then they can kind of use them in the promotional wheel. Do you think that a lot of the media understands their role in that, or are they just okay? They're like, hey, yeah, that's fine. They can use me and I'll use them.
I don't think they realize it. I don't think they realize it. I think, see, AEW, I think, uses it a lot. I think they do like conversing with media. I think Tony does like talking to media. I think it's also a way for him to do PR that way. I mean, if he doesn't want to answer a question, he's pretty adamant about, you know, but at least he He handles a little bit better at WWE. I think WWE, they do push storylines, but I also think they're pushing business. They want to put out here that this is what we're doing. This is what TKO is wanting us to do. This is how we're making money. Their goal is to make money through these things. And they're trying to push things that just push storylines, but they're also pushing product. They're also pushing, other things to try to, you know, as a synergy, as they call it in the corporate world. And to me, it's like, you know, if you're a podcaster and all that, if you're going to shows and if there's nothing really of heavy note to do, I don't have problems with the questions that are getting asked. My problem is when they're getting completely ignored and nobody's asking them at all. And it's like you can't depend on one or two people to show up at a press conference to ask the tough questions. So at some point, somebody has to stand up in the room and be a journalist. And right now, if nobody's doing it, you know, if only one person's doing it or two persons doing it or two persons, but two people, or if only Brandon Thurston's the only one getting called on to ask, then essentially nobody is. Because it's like at SummerSlam. Nobody asked about Shane McMahon. Nobody asked about Janelle Grant. Nobody asked about, the recent motions in that case. Nobody asked about, there's a ton of WWE talent that still goes to Peak Wellness. You know, including, I think, somebody's son-in-law. It's ridiculous to sit there and say, okay, well, I'm just going to go hide in my content creator corner because I don't want to get kicked out. Well, what are they going to do if you ask? They're going to kick out. If all of you ask and all of you want answers, they can't kick all of you out. You know, what their decision to do on keeping you there or keeping these going is totally based on something different from your question asking. It's based on what they see as it being relevant, if it's something worth doing. I mean, the thing is that press conferences used to be companies would hold them or sports teams or politicians, you hold them to get information out. You don't want bad information. You want to be able to say what's going on. You want to inform. You want to tell them what's going on with your company. Normally, a company in the old, 20 years ago, WWE would, and if this was a real business and not a wrestling business, they would be holding a press conference to say, look, we're aware of the Vince McMahon stuff. We think it's horrible. We're going to investigate it. This is what we're doing. This is who's going to be involved. We're going to put these people on leave. We're going to bring in this team to investigate. Instead, we get none of that.
Yeah.
You get a middle finger flipped at you pretty much, and until people start standing up and asking real questions, it isn't going to change.
All right. So I lied. I do have one more part of this that I wanted to ask you about, which is you mentioned Brandon Thurston, and this is sort of related to what Lady B was talking about earlier. The excuse or the reason that Chris LaGentile gave for why they hold certain people out of the press conference, and his answer was that, well, Brandon and John, they do a show together, so we don't need both of them, as long as we have one of them. But there was also a situation, and this
I didn't know that. I didn't hear that. Go ahead.
This has been talked about, which is at WrestleMania, they kind of locked people into the luxury suite who were not able to go to the press conference. So they didn't know really hold them hostage, but I know that they were like, hey, we can't, like, what are we stuck in here for? And one of those people were Mike Johnson, who kind of got frustrated that his name was even mentioned in this whole scenario. But like, what do you think about the idea of, they're kind of picking and choosing, and it's almost like, well, we won't get so much heat if we allow one of these guys, but if we allow three of these guys, we know that the tenor of the press conference is going to change, and thus there will be more questions that we don't want to answer than just this one guy's question.
That's why it's up to people that are in there. If Mike can't get in there and he's locked in a closet or something, then it's up to the people in the press conference to ask the questions. But too much of it's still going back to fearing they're going to lose access. They're fearing they're going to lose this. They're not going to give you anything. If you don't want them to think you're doing a good job, you don't want them to think they like you. I mean, this is like, look at this company's being accused of. Why would you want them to think that they like you? it's not hard. And if you're in there, you at least owe it to your followers to tell them what's going on with reality. I don't care if you're doing a, you're a content creator based on lucha attire and fashion. You still have to let people know what's going on with this company. And if you don't, you're part of the problem. You know, and we're now to a point where the people know about the Vince McMahon suit. We know people know that there's a grand jury being sat. We do know that this has been an ongoing problem there for years. If you're not asking the questions, you're now part of the problem. And that's the thing, you know, people need to realize. And this is bigger than your content creator career. You know, this is bigger than that, you know, and it comes down to just frustrating.
All right. In the old sports reporter show, they would end the show with what they called a parting shot, which was kind of like a 60-second soliloquy that each of the reporters were able to get, sometimes a little humorous. I'm sure they wrote these out to make sure that they were clever as all hell. I did not write mine out. I'm going to give my parting shot. BJ will give his parting shot, and then we will be out of here. So my parting shot is about Pat McAfee and Logan Paul during the beginning of the Olympics. They both spread misinformation about a female Algerian boxer who, by the way, won the gold medal, named Iman Khalif. Iman Khalif was some confusion about whether she was able to be in the Olympics or why she was allowed to be in the Olympics, because she was disqualified from a previous tournament. She was allowed to fight in the Olympics. Logan Paul basically called her a transgendered female. And Pat McAfee spread information similarly on his show. Now, I'm fine with both of those guys on their platforms spewing nonsensical things, dude bro conversation about sports, about pop culture, about whatever they want with their opinion. The problem with this conversation is this conversation deals with somebody's real life, somebody who was then bullied throughout the Olympics. And I think there's even a lawsuit out there about how this thing was handled. And so my shout, what I want to tell, if I had Pat and Logan here in front of me, I would say, just do a little bit of homework before you give your opinion on something that actually has real world significance. The flip side is, if you don't know, you don't have to say anything. Just be silent until you do know. And I think if they took that advice, that would be for the betterment of situations like this, that they don't get blown out of control because of disinformation. So that is my parting shot. BJ, you have the floor, and we will end this show.
All right. Kevin Sullivan died this week. I'm not sure exactly what the medical circumstances were, but he'd been in ill health for a while. And when you lose a Kevin Sullivan, you're losing one of the greatest minds in the history of the pro wrestling business. I can't speak to some of the things he was accused of in, like, the Dark Side of the Ring, Chris Benoit episode and things like that. It sounds like his, you know, he wasn't always the best husband. But as far as wrestling minds go, and as far as somebody who's a talent and somebody who really influenced the business, go on YouTube, look up Kevin Sullivan, watch his shoot and interviews, and just start working your way back through his catalog. If just as a fan or just as somebody who's looking from an educational standpoint, this is a guy who was a white meat baby face, a little bit too short, but came up as a bodybuilder, understood the wrestling business immediately, and somehow managed to get over a satanic stable, Satan worshiper stable in Florida in the early 1980s. It's amazing to me what this guy was able to do and pull off. He was a visionary. He understood the business well before people did. If you someone posted an interview he did with Wade Keller from 1994, where he's talking about the future of the business and the blending of styles and reality and how the world was becoming smaller. And this was a guy who understood the business decades before things happened. And he is somebody who was a key part of the NWO. If he wasn't involved with Brian Pillman, you never get Brian Pillman, you never get the NWO, and you never get the Attitude Era. We don't get where we're at today without Kevin Sullivan. Whatever has happened with him and Nancy in his life, I hope it didn't happen. I'm not, according to her family, it did. It doesn't say well to him. But I can say as somebody who's a wrestling, or as a wrestler, and as somebody who was a booker and a mastermind, he was a great one. And, you know, he had some hard things thrown at him too, but he was also, you know, dealing with, you know, some really ridiculous allegations during the Chris Benoit investigation and things like that. It was just beyond the pale. Geraldo Rivera, wherever you are, you know, you can go just, go dig yourself a hole and lay in it for a while. But Kevin Sullivan is one of the all-time great minds, and he's part of the reason why we're here. So I'm going to say get a chance, go on YouTube, learn a little bit about Kevin Sullivan and see what this guy was able to do in the 80s and 90s. And it was ridiculous. He was a great mind, and he was definitely a one and only.
I told this story with Dave on Wrestling Observer Radio the other day, but I'll re-say it here. I met him one time. Now, when I was younger and I was buying wrestling magazines, he used to scare the hell out of me because of the satanic gimmick.
Oh yeah, me too.
That you were talking about. And then I got to see him actually wrestle in the late 80s as part of the Varsity Club in the NWA. And obviously, of course, through WCW, and then you learn more about, okay, he's like the booker and all these things. So fast forward 2015, Wale Mania is happening WrestleMania weekend, and this is in Santa Clara. So this is the Bay Area WrestleMania 31. And Court Bauer is in partnership with Wale hosting this event. Court Bauer's friend, MSL, tells me, hey, do you want to meet Kevin Sullivan? I was like, yeah, that would be really cool. So he walks me over to this other room, and I'm looking around. All I see is this like really tiny, small, gentle human. And I'm like, where's Kevin Sullivan? Where's the Taskmaster? Like, what's going on here? Turns around, and it's Kevin Sullivan. I was like, no, you're the nicest, like most gentle person that I've ever met. This can't be the same guy. Obviously, he was a little bit smaller, a little bit older by then, because he's a short man. He's not a tall man. And I just was like, wow, that's the guy that used to scare the crap out of me in the wrestling magazines when I was 10 years old. So. All right.
That same thing, man. Those black and white pictures, man, they really got that satanic gimmick over. Oh, gosh.
All right, BJ, where can people find you on the aforementioned social media site that we both but we have to be on there?
Well, if you want to send me, if you want to tweet hate stuff at me, you can go to Twitter and look at BJ Bethel Tweets, at BJ Bethel Tweets. I also write for SE Scoops.
All right. This was a lot of fun. I like the angle that we took on some of these stories. So maybe we bring this back every once and again. So we'll have to kind of see what stories are out there that we want to talk about, and then we'll possibly bring it back.
You know, if I get an itch to complain about something, I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or something that really blows my mind is fun, like Ishii Swerve. Yes.
Is that happening this Wednesday?
Well, it happened last night, man, on Collision.
Oh, that was last night's
match.
It
was on Collision last night.
Okay. It was a really good match.
It was real. Oh, it's Ishii.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go. I don't usually watch Collision because not a lot of stuff happens, but I may have to go out of my way.
There's some definitely diamonds on Collision that are worth going back and watching. That's for sure. Well, thanks for having me, Garrett. It's been a lot of fun.
I've
always wanted to talk to you on here, and it's been great.
No, it was awesome. I very much enjoy this aspect of discussion. So, all right, for BJ Bethel, go follow him on Twitter, and maybe he'll tweet more stuff that will get him in trouble with some Twitter fans. But this was great. We'll bring it back again when the time is right. For BJ, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. F he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.